Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to No Spin Rodeo. This is episode 76. I'm Tommy Joe Lucia. We do not have Greg Teagarden. He's in Europe, joined by the First Lady of Pro Rodeo Journalism, Miss Kendra Santos, and a very special guest. Good morning or good afternoon, Kendra. How are you?
I'm great. I can hardly wait to let's bring this kid in because I'm dying to talk to him.
Well, everybody, welcome to the show right off the top because this, and he's probably getting requests for interviews all the time now. Welcome to the show, Hayden Welch. The young, did they really call you the redheaded phenom? Like, yeah. is that like, do buds call you that? Or is it just old dudes like me?
Matt Meredith, the barrel clown in Pendleton, he calls me the ginger ninja. I'm the ginger ninja.
I love it. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, Kendra normally gets first shot, but I'll tell you what, you know, right off the bat, the burning question for me, and it's way too early, but I can't stand it. Did you intentionally stay on your permit?
Yes, sir. I prayed about it. Me and my dad, every new season of Pro Rodeo, it starts October 1st. Well, I didn't even renew my permit till January 10th. So I prayed about it. So I was like, oh, we're just going to get the permit. Last year on my permit was technically my first year of pro rodeo. I went to like 18 or 20 rodeos. So like, I didn't really get the transition down. I wasn't getting into rodeos. I was just putting way too much pressure on myself, just letting the enemy attack me in the ways that he shouldn't have let it attack me in the way of, you know, man, am I really supposed to be here? Do I ride good enough? Just all the questions a rookie guy can ask himself. And that's why, like, Jeter Lawrence and Wei Shishalo last year, they let themselves be good. You know, they knew in their mind and they had that strong mindset. Well, after I went back to college and, you know, from Christmas break, I kind of realized, like, it was time to kick it into high gear. I was starting to get some convicted feelings about stuff, and the Holy Spirit started really flowing through me in the way of, man, it's time to really quit having so much fun and let's get our life goal. And since I was 4 years old and got on my first bull and knee high to a grasshopper, it's been a dream of mine to just beat Donnie Gay's 8-time world championships. You know, he's pretty good stuff. I've known Donnie since I was in a wheelchair, and he's always known my dad and stuff. But that's been my lifelong dream, is, you know, go be a 9-time, 8-time world champ and then be able to kick Donnie Gay off the TV one of these days, hopefully. With all respect,
you got a better voice, and I've got to apologize because in the podcast earlier, I'm like, we've got to talk to this kid because I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, that
right? is he just, you know, so is he just like not paying attention? So I apologize.
No. Yeah, and like to finish what I was starting to say is like, you know, I really started to pursue my faith and my relationship with the Lord, and well, by the time I realized what was coming around, I think it was March. No, it was actually the beginning of May. May, the beginning and end of May, leading up to June. And even at the end of June, I think I had 28 rodeos and I only had $25,000 made. So, you know, leading up to the beginning of July, having only 28 to almost 30, I can't remember, $1,000 made. It's like, oh, you know, me and my dad's plan when we prayed about it was to make 60 to 70,000. If I made 80,000, man, that was a good season. We're going to have qualifications for next year. That was our plan, you know, and that's what we prayed about. And that's what the Holy Spirit was telling both of us, you know, and by the time I knew it, I had no idea. I thought July was where all the money was to be made. And the Lord told me, you know, he blessed me with a whole bunch of stuff. And by the time the end of July rolled around, I had 55,000 made, you know, barely top 40, maybe 30. I don't really remember. Never kept track of it a whole lot. But and then beginning of the first, I think, 6 days of August, I made $19,000. I took a week off to come to college for boot camp, went right back on the road at the end of, I think it was August 22nd or something, I left, or 20th, and I went to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, their Extreme Bulls, the rodeo. I went to Bremerton right after for their rodeo and Extreme Bulls. I won the X-Bulls in Coeur d'Alene and the rodeo. I got second at the rodeo in Bremerton, and then I got fifth at the Expos, and by the time I knew it, I made another $21,000. And then the first 10 days of September, I make $56,000. So, I mean, like I said, I hit my goal of 60 to 70,000. Then it was just all in God's perfect will to, you know, give me $147,000 made this year on my permit.
I can tell you, people, because I watched him in Pelican, now I've watched a few of his rides, it's not like you've just drawn everything perfect either. I mean, there was one of those at Pendleton, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to get on very bad. And so, you know, it's not just, you know, you've drawn some good ones and done good, but it sounds like your faith is a strong conviction. And you know, when you just kind of let go and let God, it's amazing what happens in it.
Oh man, it's, nothing's impossible with God. And that's why I tell them, I'm always just like, everyone kind of calls me just a wound up more than a 10-day clock. And I'm just kind of a wild child. But man, like some guys just, they call, I'm a one percenter in most people's eyes. When I'm crawling on that bull, man, I'm just talking to the Lord. You know, I'm talking to that Holy Spirit. And sometimes I don't even know I'm doing it. But that's just like my flow state. And yeah, drawing bulls this year, I was pretty all right around riding bulls away from my hand to the left. But I haven't, like, I didn't get it consistently down where I could ride a whole bunch. And I'm not kidding you. For 28 days straight, I think at the beginning, yeah, the beginning of, or end of June to, like, the middle of, or end of July, I only drew things that went left. So that was kind of the Lord, I think, preparing me and just getting me to, all right, these could happen. You could get on 28 bulls in a row, go left. You better figure out how to ride them, so.
Well, I bet Kendra's chomping. I'll take another shot at you in a minute. Kendra? How about this little redheaded phenom ninja warrior?
This is like a Kendra dream right here. There are so many things. Just the first few things you said, I'm like, I just wrote down three questions from the first two things because I want clarification. Did you say I've known Donnie Gay since I was in a wheelchair? What?
Yeah. My dad, when he made his first NFR, I was 3 months old. So my dad's a seven-time NFR qualifier.
And do you have a stroller?
Yeah, sorry. What did I say?
You said wheelchair.
Oh, sorry. Like I said, I'm wound up like a 10-day clock. You know, I sometimes, it just comes out. I'm in a stroller, yes, man.
Okay,
so.
Okay. And so then my next question was, just to confirm, just to double check, Bobby Welsh, the NFR Bull Rider, is your dad.
Yep.
Okay, there you go. If Bobby's your mother, your dad... the NFR barrel horse, was it Dragonfly?
Firefly.
Firefly.
Yeah.
Belongs to your dad's sister, and her name was what?
Amanda. Yep.
Okay, Amanda.
And then it's funny, my granddad, actually, my dad and my aunt's dad, he raised that horse and was, you know, working with her, and he was like, dang, this mare is really she kicks butt really good. So, he sent her with my aunt, and they went and made the NFR that year, and she still has her, and They're still kick butt. She's just kind of slowing down, gets a little bit sore up and hurt, but yeah.
Okay. So based on your dad's physique and Aunt Amanda's physique, how tall are you and how much do you weigh?
Take a guess.
I'm 5'5", 130.
Dude, that's good on you, Kendra. 5'5" and about 128. Maybe 5'6". I'm taller than my dad. So if I have my boots on, I might be 5'6" and a half.
You can't count the hair.
If I have my cowboy on, I might be 5'7".
I've never even met you in person. Just beware, yeah. I'm 5'10 and large. But anyway. Yeah. Okay, back to the college thing. Are you going to college now?
Yes, ma'am. I'm currently in my coach's son's room right now. It's hooked up to their Wi-Fi. Yep.
Which college?
Odessa, Texas. Yes, ma'am. The community college over here. Yep.
And who's your coach?
Tom Kelly.
Kelly. Okay,
cool. Yep.
Kelly. Oh, see, Kelly. This kid, so Kendra, we do a deal with Texas Rattlers where it's a team concept. The Texas Rattlers bring their team, and the Odessa College, first year we did it, fields a team of bull riders. Hayden was on their team, right? This is the Rattlers, right? I mean, their PBR team. We go to Odessa and set up this tournament-style teams event. The little redheaded ninja warrior here takes everything. He takes the college champ. He wins the event. He rides more bulls than anybody else on site. And I mean, rode his bulls, and he didn't have a very nice one there in the short go either, if I remember right.
No.
And I mean, put it on him, and we were just handing checks to him, and he's just a grinning. And I remember laughing and saying, look at that little redheaded kid. He doesn't even know. He can't even believe this. So he's a real deal.
Car.
Does the Jinja Ninja like rope or bulldog for all around points or ride bucking horses or anything?
That's pretty funny, actually. So I can ride barebacks pretty good. So Heath Ford, he was back in the day. I don't really know. I was pretty young, but I always just grew up calling him Uncle Heath because I always was young. And I had that little lisp, Uncle Heath. And so Uncle Heath, I was always running around with him, and he was like, this kid, just the way he spurs bulls, I couldn't imagine him on a bareback horse. So I got on a few barebacks, and last year I was like, man, I don't have a rigging, and you need a rigging that fits you. But last year there was a saddle here at the college that fit me. I am not meant to ride Bronx. I like going to the front end, and on Bronx, you got to lean back, and I don't like that at all. That was not very comfortable. I got slammed pretty hard. I got thrown over a couple of them. I was like, yeah, this just ain't cut out for me. I'm pretty cowboy, but not that. I'd like to say I'm pretty, like, everyone, like, today when we were bucking horses, I had a rope in my hand. I can pretty much do any rope trick you tell me to do. I'm pretty handy with the rope. Last year, I haven't done it this year just because I've been rodeoing. This is actually my first week back in school. School's been going for 3 weeks, and this is my first week here because I've been rodeoing so much. But, last year they did some shoot dogging, and I flipped one. We had a little line, and after you get through the line, you got to bury your feet. And, you know, you got to run next to them, and then when you plant, you're supposed to, in theory, as soon as you hit that line, plant, tuck them into your pocket and throw them. And I think like two steps that steer took, I threw him down pretty good. He's a pretty big steer too. And I had my shorts and no shirt on. So yeah, but I'm just like, I'm a golfer too. I love golfing. Like that's what I do all the time. Like I take golf pretty seriously. I'm probably about a 13, 14, almost 12 handicap. Just depends on where I'm at. Like
so what is that? Is that like shooting an 80? What is that? Yeah, what is a 12? Yeah,
I've never broke 80. My best record, I've gotten shot an 82 plenty of times, but I get to that last three, four holes, man. And then par threes, and then a couple of that par threes will get me. I let that pressure get to me sometimes, but yeah, I'm just a really competitive person. And my dad, actually, he'll tell you this. I'm a kind of a perfectionist. If I like something and I want to be good at it, there's nothing going to stop me from, whether it's getting on my phone, watching videos, practicing it. Like I'm a straight up perfectionist. If I like to do something, I'm going to be good at it. I'm not going to be bad at it.
If memory serves me right, I think your dad rode some Bronx and didn't like it too. I remember that.
He was,
I mean, I think he did a little bit. Yeah.
First horse he went out there and spurred. I'm like, gosh dang, dad. Like, I think I'm athletic and I see all these old VHS tapes of you just spurring some bucking horses. And he was pretty good at it. He just liked that bull riding more. That's for sure.
Okay, so like I have a scattershot of questions, but before we go there, I just think for people who aren't in the middle of this all day, every day, like we are, in case everybody's not aware, your permit bull riding earnings this year are over $147,000 as of today, Tuesday, September 16th, which would put you, if you had your card, about $5,000 ahead of 12th place in the world standings.
Yep.
So how did it go at those few rodeos you went to in 2024? And is that why you waited till January to even get your permit in 2025?
So that's kind of funny. I don't know if you guys know the bull Red Demon. Red Demon's he's a treacherous sucker. He's hard to ride. I tell you what, so I went to like four or five rodeos. They let me into Ogden Pioneer Days last summer, and I drew Red Demon. Me being me, I don't draw out bulls. Like, I was going to get on this thing. Because if I was going to ride him, that was my debut, and it was time. I was going to get after it. Well, I overrode him somehow and ended up bucking off him. And then last year, but that first year of 2024, I drew deep everywhere I went. I think I actually pulled three checks that whole season. So, like, I'm not scared to talk about my testimony a little bit. It's all in God's plans, and I like spreading the word. But what was crazy is my dad, he's been a very faithful, you know, very faithful and a very, very just God-believing man. Like, we are just full believers in that nothing's impossible with God, and he has his perfect will, and we just got to go with it, you know? And so I've been like that since I was young. But after I got to college last year, you know, I didn't step away from my faith none. Like I'd always gather everyone up before bull riding and I'd pray, but I was almost using them like a little bit of a genie. So I was, you know, I was partying, doing all the college stuff, drinking, you know, having fun. And that was when I went home for Christmas break, and I had yet to renew. So I was 3 months late to renewing my permit. They had it's called the New Year's Eve Buck and Ball in Gillette, Wyoming. That's my hometown. And me and my dad actually were the openings that I got on a mini bull, and they like shouted dad out and like did this whole big deal at the beginning of it 1 year. And ever since I was 12, I was like, I can't wait to ride at this. It's something so little, but it's so cool. It's like a hometown deal, you know? And the first year, same deal. I was just running around with friends, just being arrogant and ignorant, and just didn't get my card. And then I've had a crap season that season. Then last year, like I said, just last December, I was sitting there on New Year's on the back of the chutes looking at all my buddies riding at my hometown deal I've been waiting to ride at since I was 12. And I'm not kidding you, the Holy Spirit hit me like a train, like a big train. I was sitting back there having a beer, just being a regular old cowboy. And I was like, man, something's wrong. Like there's something bad going on right now. And I just started praying. And I don't know why. I get into deep prayer quite a bit. That's just the relationship and just how I am. But I never really prayed unless I was, you know, trying to use the Lord as a genie whenever I needed something, protection, safety, whatever it was. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, I don't know what's going on right now, but the conviction just hit me and it's time. And as soon as I got back to college, I quit everything. I quit partying. I quit everything. And I started just pursuing the Lord. And I tell people that wasn't to benefit my bull riding. Like I was like, this is something beyond that. It was, man, if the Lord had not planned for me to get on a bull again in my life, that's in his perfect will. I love him unconditionally. And I love Jesus so much for what he did for me that it's in their perfect will. Whatever's in his perfect will, I'm following it, you know? And that's where I'm at. And that's been the biggest part, is like, I quit worrying about the money. I quit worrying about all the fleshly, earthly things all these regular old cowboys do. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a one percenter. I've always been that way. And I feel like that was a big part. So it was like I said, I didn't even renew it. And then all of a sudden, my testimony hit, and then it's just been in God's hands since then. So that's why it was just, I think it was just a lot of it. Just my faith wasn't where it is right now. And, you know, breathe and believe in it. Like I can eat, dream, and sleep bull riding. I tell that to the guys, but don't ever put bull riding over God, because it ain't going to go very good.
Oh, wise. Okay. On a nuts and bolts question, you obviously, especially being on a permit, you didn't qualify based on your 2024 earnings to get into the winter building rodeos this year.
Nope.
So my question is, are permit holders allowed to walk up replace at the winter rodeos?
Some of them. Yep.
And did you do that this year?
So when I got my permit renewed, it was funny. So Odessa Pro Rodeo, right? We drove down here like the 9th. One of my buddies from up north in North Dakota, he's like, hey, can I catch a ride with you? I know you're going down to college, and I'll just fly back after I'm done. I'm going to probably spend a little time in Texas rodeoing anyways. I'm like, yeah, man, of course. So he jumps in, and he's like, are you entered in Odessa? I'm like, dude, I haven't even renewed my permit. I was like, I just got right. Like, peace has finally hit me, man. Like, I'm really not too worried about rodeo right now. Like, I'm just finally getting back to where I need to be and letting the peace and the abundance of joy fill me up. And he's like, dude, let's get your car today, and you're getting on tomorrow. Well, the lady, his name's Wes Huggins. He's actually an announcer. His wife, Wes's wife, and which is Walker and Trevor Huggins' mom, I call her. I'm like, hey, can you like help me do this online so I can send it in? And this was the next day. Like, my buddy was up it was the second to last day. So we went and filled out all my stuff online, sent it in, and they had it in like an hour, and I paid for it. So this was all about 3-4 hours before the rodeo, 2 hours before the rodeo. I go to walk up, and I call Procom, and I'm like, hey guys, can I walk up? I just got my stuff today. And they couldn't find it on the actual deal. So we had to call like the main office of Procom. They're like, yeah, I mean, it's going to process tomorrow, but give them a bull. So they ran me in. I was Benny Butler. So I was expecting a big, mean, soggy thing. And he ended up being the tiniest little 900-pound calf I ever seen. I didn't even think Benny had these things. Went out there, rode him, was the only guy to ride, won like $900. I was like, dad, go. Holy heck, that's the way to start it out, you know? Like, praise God, this is already, you know, it's already working. Like, you know, I just like, Lord, you're already working, you know? So then I tried to go to San Antonio and them, and they didn't have any turnouts or nothing. I was actually headed to the stockyards to get on at that. Oh, that's a rugged place. I would not recommend bull runners to go to stockyards. But I was going over there, and my dad calls me, because him and my Uncle Wyatt, they help. My Uncle Wyatt is married to Donnie Gay's niece, and which is, I'm being stupid. What's Donnie's brother's name? Do you know by chance?
Pete or Jim?
Jim. Yeah, so yeah. Jim that runs Raptor G.
Yeah.
Summer, my uncle getting married to her, so they were over there at Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, and they're like, hey, there's a couple spots open, with come walk up. And I was like, perfect, I'm already in Fort Worth. Well, then I get a call again, it's Texas permits only, like Texas circuit can only walk up. So I'm like, ah, shoot, whatever, you know. And then I don't think I went to a single big open winter rodeo. And then after that, I went and got on a whole bunch of practice bulls. Went to the Bull Nanza, which is the Guthrie Extreme Bulls. McCoy's put it on. And I knew what I had, so I went and got on our best bull at the college. Spurred him down, probably was 89, 90 in the practice pen. Like, it was a good bull ride. And then 2 days later, I went to Guthrie, and I spurred this. You probably know him, Tom. They call him Tulsa Time. McCoy's, and I spurred him down for 90 and a half. He twitched his ear to the right, kicked about once or twice, and I spurred that bull for probably 6.5-7 seconds. And after that, that really got my ball rolling. But I didn't get into a whole lot of big winter rodeos.
Okay, so because everybody right now, you know, as of September, and you're the talk of the town, and everybody's like, why didn't he get his card? Was there like a moment, and when was it? Or was there like a conscious moment of a decision, or was it? It was too far into the year before you realized. Yeah. Okay, so exactly when was that? You kind of talked about it earlier, but
it was right there. Probably, it's still kind of hard because, praise God, the numbers I'm about to tell y'all, it still hasn't even processed through my head. So I think we added it up, and I won 72. I think I almost won almost like 95,000 from the beginning of August to now. And wow. Yeah. And
45 days.
So after July, I went to Cheyenne. I was 90 and a half in Cheyenne again. I almost won Cheyenne. I ended up bucking off in the short go. But after even Cheyenne, like I said, I only had 55,000 made. And it was still like, oh man, I did the right decision. Let's go win 20,000-30,000 more like me and Dad planned. And then from there, like I said, I just quit worrying. You know, I was winning permits, and then it was just all in God's hands.
It all makes perfect sense. And when we talked about you on the last episode, like we brought up some examples, like Keenan Hayes, you know, won a lot on his permit and then won the world. And then what was the other? We used Sage Kimsey as an example that he won quite a bit on his permit. About a third as much as you have this year, and then, you know, won the world 7 times and all that. But an example I thought of today happened in 2022 to Rocker Steiner early in the year, mind you, but he went and did some really early winning and won about 15 grand and then got his card. He was unaware at that time that money won on your permit does not transfer to your card in the same calendar year. So I think it's interesting for people who don't remember that. You and your dad are hip to the fact that this would not transfer over and you'd be starting at ground zero in August or whatever. So this is why
It is. And that's it. And I think a big part of it too, like disregarding the money and everything, you know, like, the fact that all them guys, like, man, I have nicknames for a lot of them, like, and a lot of them, like Clayton Sellers, he calls me the preacher man. What's up, preach? Like, I'm always praying for everyone and just always trying to spread the word, and just all them guys are my good buddies now. You know what I mean? Like, if I ever need something or they need something, we can make that phone call, you know? I think that was a big part. And then, the one thing that I've been really like, I've been rodeoing out of a car my whole life. Like, I have a little Ford Fusion that it's a little hybrid. It gets like 38-40 to a gallon. It's awesome. I'm gonna miss driving it. But one thing I think that really got me to before, even like I'd get to thinking about like, man, I need a rodeo rig. And I kind of put that pressure. But then about the middle of July, at the beginning of July, my buddy Brody Hasnack, and he's one of my really good brothers in Christ. And same with my buddy Riley Jones. We were traveling in Brody's really nice, it's like a Winnebago van. It's really nice. And after that, I was like, man, this thing's really nice. It's awesome. And then I had him pray with me, like, to quit worrying about this. I don't need a rig. I am plenty fine with my car. It's saving me money, whatever. And whenever it's in God's plans, you know, that's when I'll get a rig. And then as soon as Pendleton was over, I walked up to my dad and I was like, it all kind of hit me at once that I have 147,000 made. Something like I've never, like, having 30,000 in my bank was crazy enough. And now that I have almost just over 100,000, it's like, well, if I don't want to get a bad tax write-off, we better go buy a rotary rig. So I think it's God's timing to go get myself a little banner.
That's your first big investment is a rotary rig. What are you getting? Do you know?
I'm going to call one of my buddies. He's a really good diesel mechanic, and I really want the Mercedes diesel little like Class C motorhomes because – and to buy even a used pickup, $40,000. And I'm like, I don't need a pickup. I don't got a horse. I ain't got a trailer. I'm never, you know what I mean? So I think I'm just going to go buy me a RV and spend $38,000,
$45,000 on it. And then have one. Okay. When you were traveling in the Ford Fusion, where were you sleeping?
It depends. If I was traveling with some people, like I always tried to get people in the car because if I knew I had people in the car, I had to go get a hotel. And when I went to Puyallup and I was second in Puyallup this year, the first night I drove from Lewiston, I was 90 points to win Lewiston, Idaho. I drove all night. I got there at like, I think it was 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, man, I don't want to make any phone calls. I moved my golf clubs out from behind my passenger seat, pushed them over with my hung up clothes and kicked my seat back and slept in my passenger seat. And then the next day, like I said, Wasey Shaw, he's one of my good buddies now, and I'm blessed to have him and as a friend too, because he rides good and he's a funny character. He's a good character. And I was like, Wasey, you mind if I stay with you? He's like, did you stay in your car last night? I was like, no. And he's like, just come get the rig, man. And I was like, yeah, all right, I appreciate it. And like, so like, I do have a lot of people that usually like I didn't have to sleep in my car a whole lot. I'd either have my travel partner Riley Jones or I'd have people let me stay with them and kind of just trailer camper hop, you know.
Do I assume that your dad taught you to ride bulls?
Yes, ma'am. Him and my granddad, like, he's more or less the guy that I send videos to, and he just kind of calls me, and he'll tell me some old granddad saying, and I love it because it's good stuff. And my granddad, actually, I think he was a four-time circuit champ. He was really good at riding bulls. And it's hard to, like, as a guy like me with all this technology, it's like, I know my granddad rode good, but I never got to see it. So it's like, and I've seen like 3 or 4 videos. Actually, I never seen a video of him until about a year ago, maybe even 8-9 months ago. And my dad showed it to me. I'm like, gosh, dang, I need to listen to granddad more. That guy rode good. But my dad rode really, really, really phenomenal. If I have an honest pick of guys to ever ride bulls, like Don Gay and all those, they like Cody Custer, Jim Sharp, they all rode really good. But for the new era of like the how the bulls buck and like how they're just so athletic now, Sage Kimsey, like Cooper Davis, my dad, I have a lot of like my dad's up there with a lot of, like, and it's not me being honestly biased, like it's me being, if I was the way I'm, especially how short I'm built, my like I've had so many guys this year tell me too how I ride like my dad and how it's so pretty. Like guys sometimes will ask me like, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, truthfully, I don't know. I just do it. It's been implanted into my brain, you know, to. Just from my dad growing up. And but yeah, that's been a big part is my dad. He's a super supportive guy. If I do get bucked off, he's just like, well, that's bull ride. Now get it out of your head and let's do what you know how to do. And he's always pumping me up. And you know, I almost say sometimes he's got to chill out because I don't like him being cocky towards like trying to be, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just,
that,
I've been
that
humbled.
Line between yeah. confidence and cockiness.
Yeah, I've been really humbled. So
well, I like, let's put you on the spot. Who's the best bull rider in the world in 2025, PRCA and PBR company included?
So like if I was to pick a guy, like if I was betting the ranch on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say just Sage Kimsey, honestly, to be honest with you. Like, but the reason I'm not as confident, I don't watch PBR a whole lot, unfortunately. I'm a Cowboy Channel diehard. I'm always watching Cowboy Channel. So, but I'm always seeing him ride. But that John Krimber, he rides, you know,
Brady Fielder can ride.
Yeah, Fielder. Like, and, you know, all these guys I'm always seeing, like, they're always riding just really, like, I like the PBR because the bulls are just kicking spinners. They're blowing up, kicking, and you're going to be 89 plus. But I've also seen, like, Ethan Winkler, like, I'm not, like, I love, we call him the mini gorilla. The guy's a jacked, he rides phenomenally. But even he said, you know, you go to the PBR, and even, Hudson Bolton, he went and won the Rookie of the Year in PBR and came to PRCA, and he's like, dude, that's a hard transition. Because PRCA, it's rodeo. We got rodeo bulls. They're going to drop their butt, hop, skip, jump out there 4 feet. They're going to go left, right, left, upside down. You don't know what's going to happen. In the PBR, you know, they're all just kicking spinners. If they're not good, they're not going to be there, you know? So it's hard. It's just, that's a hard pick. Like if I'm going PRCA and like one or the other, I'm probably going to go John Krimber, Brady Field, or something over there. I'd really do some stat looking. But if it's Pierre,
I don't think you can say the PBRs are kicking spinners. It depends on the pins, but they're honest. I'll give you that. They're honest, but there's some dirty, heavy son of a guns that.
I agree. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what I mean by kicking spinners, I'm not just saying like a 21 and a half. Like, I'm saying they're kicking, they're spin, like they're bucking. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, they're every time they're going to bucket the PBR. And that's, but at the same time, like I said, I only watch Instagram reels, and that's all I really get to see ever is all the. Not like the really good bulls, you're right.
Maybe so I'm a little bit more predictable on the
spectrum. Yeah.
But I'm really curious, speaking of Sage, because you mentioned of a goal of Donnie Gay's record, you know, of the 8 gold buckles. And, you know, obviously that was Sage's, you know, ultimate dream when he was a kid. And then, I mean, what do you think standing back? There are so many different components to this question, but it's not even a fair question, but you know, Sage won his 7 and then he went to the PBR. Was that hard for you as like now you're driving? Can you ever see yourself doing the same? Hey, things happen, you know,
for sure. I've ever personally talked to Sage, but I talked to Trey Kimsey, his little brother, a lot. I'm pretty good buddies with Trey now. And old TK was talking to me about like, I was like, you know, PBR, they, you know, when a guy, you're that good at Sage Kimsey, you can be like, all right, I want this and this on this contract, and they're probably going to give it to him, you know. I don't really know any details or anything, and which, for me, like, if I'm at the end of my career, rodeoing, it takes it out of you, going to 80 rodeos, you know what I mean? That's hard. Like, you're driving, you're not really all, like, PBRs, I've talked to some guys, and I assume you fly to them, you get a hotel, you're 3-4, I don't really know, 4 bulls a weekend maybe, but. You know, the rodeo, you know, when you're pro rodeo and you're getting on, like, the last week before I came back, I got on 10 bulls in a week, you know, like, you know, it's just the grind in the rodeo. So I feel like it was a little bit of a heartbreaker, like, that he didn't even tie him, almost, because, like, I've looked up to Sage for a long time, like, because by the time my dad retired, I always looked up to my dad, but it was like, all right, well, who's the next, who could be the next guy to fill Bobby's shoes? And that guy just, he was so fundamentally perfect, and it was just, it was fun to watch, you know, he's so pretty and everything. So it was a little bit of a heartbreaker, but like I said, that's my goal. That's what I think about it quite a bit, you know, like now where I am, I got 10 years to do it. So, you know, and then after that, I hope to ride. I've talked to my dad about it. When I get close to the record, you know, whatever God, I can't tell what's going to happen in the future just because it's in God's hands, but, it would be cool to be able to break it. And then I do want to go over the PBR teams if they're still a thing, you know, it would be nice to slow down. When I have a fan, like Sage, he has a family now, you know, being able just to go this weekend, take a weekend or however that works, you know, and just be able to just slow down, but still do something I love and then not be crippled all year because you're getting on 80 to 90 bulls a year, you know?
Right. Are we going to see you at Sioux Falls and Mandan?
Not Mandan. You will see me in Sioux Falls. I got a college rodeo and I just, my girlfriend flew up to Pendleton and unfortunately it was after I rode. The plan was I was supposed to ride my bull at the rodeo and she could come watch me in the short round, but old Kenny Behringer decided to ruin my riding streak I had. So, and I haven't rode one of his bulls. So I told him, yeah, I'm tired of getting on your stuff. I was like, you just keep bucking me off. But so she flew over and she's spending some time over here in Odessa with me for the next 2 weeks. So I figured, like you guys said, I was having fun this year, you know, just I don't need any more, like, I don't need any more money. Is it nice to have? Yeah, but I just, you know, I figured, man, let's save myself. Let's go to some college rodeo, slow down, get on some practice bulls like tonight, and then just go to Sioux Falls, and it's got 156,000, so you're going to go to that one, you know, and
finish it. Of a couple of weeks coming up. When you look back on the most phenomenal, correct me if I'm wrong, the most phenomenal earnings-wise permit year anyone has ever had in our history, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have one single ounce of remorse or regret on any of it? Would you do any of it differently? No,
ma'am. It was just so much fun. I told my dad, I was done in Pendleton, and I'm like, you know what's funny, Dad? I never realized I get to do this all over next year, and I'm so, let's get it going. Let's start. I'm ready, you know? And he was giggling and laughing. He goes, man, to be your age again, he says. And even like he always is joking with me because I was telling him like there were 75,000 in Puyallup and stuff like that. And like even our old little circuit rodeos he used to go to make a circuit count, they had 3,000-4,000 at it. Now they got 10,000-15,000 at it. He's, man, to be your age and the money to be making it nowadays in the rodeo, he's like, that's just crazy. So, no, I don't regret it one bit. You know, everyone's, all the Boise and all the guys, they'll give me crap about it and stuff. And it's like, you know, though, it's like, what would have been different if I bought my card? What if I would have, you know, let the enemy deceive me saying, hey, you're like, what if I would have, instead of being confident, would have been cocky and like held my head high instead of just putting my head down low and just doing what I needed to do, you know, like, and it really honestly, like I knew I was riding good and I was starting to figure it out. But until I rode that bull in Cheyenne for 90.5, like they call him Salinas, that thing bucked. Like J.R. Stratford texted me and said, they could have marked you 94 and no one would have complained about it. Like after that bull ride is it when it kind of like, it really started clicking, you know, like it was just having fun. Like I can ride anything if it, like my dad, it's a funny saying. So like we got longhorns and we got muleys. He goes, they can be a longhorn muley that does backflips and it doesn't matter to you, Welsh. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that was kind of my, you know, and it's already halfway through the season. So why buy my card when I got 50,000, yeah, you know? So I don't regret a single thing.
Go ahead. I was wondering if there's like a most important thing that you've learned, lesson learned this year that you will take into next year with you.
If I'm really looking back on it, it's keep doing what I'm, keep everything that I did this year pretty much do the same, as in like, man, if the Holy Spirit's flowing around, nothing's impossible, God. Keep my faith strong. Don't let money or anything else get in that way of that. And just keep pursuing, like, I want to be, like, I'm at the point where I can, like, you can come up, we can have some fellowship, and we can talk about the Lord. And, man, there's going to be times now that even looking back on this time next year, in a year, you know, a year from now, how much I want to grow spiritually and, you know, and in my scripture and being able to pull things out a little bit better in my memory. But there's one thing looking back that I want to keep doing. It's just being me, being the one percenter, the guy that just always is, I'm always making everyone laugh. I say some out of pocket. It's not bad stuff. It's just like whoever thinks of funny, dumb stuff like that. You know, I just want to keep being me, the guy that has the high energy, that wakes up in the morning, takes a sip of coffee and does a backflip, and everyone's like, what's this guy? You know, what's this guy doing? You know, like, who's this guy on? So, yeah, that's the attitude I want to keep up.
Well, hopefully, you know, one of your challenges in the future, of course, God's taken you through all of this, but you've tasted some real success. So keeping that mental approach when things don't go your way,
yep,
especially after a while, that'll test your true faith. That'll, yep, make sure what you're saying is what you're believing, right?
Yes, sir.
And that'll fix your brain. You know, we all know this, that 85% of this game in all the competition with, you know, is mental. And, yep, if you can keep that neutral, but I wanted to go back to something because Kendra and I have talked about this, and we talk about the young guys and the quality I said in the last podcast, it's the best set of young guys in the three rough stock disciplines that I've ever seen. And I've been in this since I was 3 years old. And I think it has to do with these, the junior, the mini bull riding. Cause didn't you, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you win the junior world finals?
Yep. In 2023. Yep.
That does kind of, I mean, you're young and pretty experienced. I mean, you're still a rookie in green, but I mean, most guys, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, your dad, there wasn't no, I mean, you might get on steers at home or, yep, or something like this, but to go into a setting where they announce your name, right? And, yep, it feels real and you've kind of, yep, got some pressure because everybody's expecting you to do good in Vegas. Don't, yep, you think that really helps our, yep, young crop?
No, I agree. Like you were saying, they had high school finals and stuff like that, you know, in my dad's day. I don't know if I can tell you. I'm pretty sure they had it on TV, but that was when they were younger. That was the only time they ever got to be on TV. That was about the only ever time they got to do stuff like that. And I for sure agree with that, Tom. Like, being able to go to junior NFR, I was there in 2019 and then 2023. Junior world finals, junior high, and then the high school finals. All that stuff, you know, it does. I don't I feel like I was telling, I was had an interview yesterday and I was telling the same deal. Like, you can't let that be the reason to keep pushing. Oh, I won the high school finals, or I got second at the high school finals. So, like, use it when you first start, like, hey, like, you know, we can ride bulls, you know, and whatnot. But I definitely think it helps, you know. Like, I was on TV, I've been on TV just as much as a little kid growing up. At, like, we had the Northwest Metro Board and finals before I was even in junior high. Like, all that, yeah, it's definitely a big help. I won my first saddle when I was 11 years old. Like, you know what I mean? Just, like, that experience of, like, and it really makes you love it, like, knowing, like, what can come from it, you know? And, but, yeah, I definitely think that was a big part. I think, you know, I tried not to, like, keep a high head about it. And, but, yeah, no, it was, I definitely think it's a big part of it, and just that transition, you know. And that's another thing, like, I stayed on my permit this year, was just that transition of getting used to everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Does your dad still do schools?
Yeah, oh yeah, he came and did our boot camp for college. He had a bull riding, like, a, not really, it was kind of like a school, but more or less just a training week and just a get fundamentally right week. I think it was like March before our school year ended last year, and he's came and helped some. I'm actually going home in the beginning of November to help one of my good buddies put on a bull riding school. And but yeah, no, it, he still goes around quite a bit and helps whenever he can help and whenever people ask for him.
Cool.
But
Kendra, let's get one final question at him before we go. You go first.
I beg for two because I have two that are burning a hole in my mind.
It's a question and a follow-up. There you go.
Will you go to Vegas to watch?
Yeah, I'll be there for the permit challenge. Yes, ma'am. They have a permit challenge at South Point. So they give me 3 nights or 2 nights of free stay at South Point. So I'll be there.
Surely you're going to go over to the Thomas and Mac and just get in the vibe, right?
Oh, for sure. Like I said, wasting all them top 15 guys and my buddies now. So I gotta, you know, being able to go watch them and call them their nicknames while they're riding, that'll be super fun. And then like I said, my uncle at Raptor G, usually he has an extra ticket, and they sit like right in front of right on the left hand bucket chutes, like on the fort or the closest point to him. So he usually hooks us up.
So last, and I'll be, I promise, done, is the plan for 2026 to hit the ground running on October 1st, 2025.
Yep. I'm going to start her off with a bang. I'm going to have, actually, tomorrow or the next day, I'm going to call Procom, get my card for next year renewed and have it paid. So by the time, it's going to be 2026 or 2025, 2026 season, but it's going to be processed and ready to go before October 1st, because October 2nd, we have our circuit finals opens. And then when the circuit finals opens, you have to have your card renewed before that if you're on your permit, so your circuit finals counts for the next season. So that's how that'll start me off good. And then I'm not gonna lie, something about Texas, I don't know if everything's bigger in Texas. I've had some really successful bull rides in Texas, but sometimes these little pro rodeos, I'll go to some dinky stuff and I'll fall off some stuff and I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I'll probably hit just the really big ones. I'll hit obviously all the winners, Santone, Fort Worth, Houston. If I get into Houston, I don't know how that all works, but I want to hit all those big ones. But I want to save myself, like, I'm not going to go to every little rodeo, because I have 125 rodeos now, you know. Like, I have a count that I have to be very, like, Bryce Jensen's at, like, after Sioux Falls, he'll be at like 123 or 125, like, you know. So
okay, but the Houston, San Antonio and all that, does any of your permit money, did we learn that your permit money that won in 2025 does not count, or it
no,
does?
The qualifications counts. Yep.
Oh, it so does.
Like, oh yeah. So like, since I won 147, I'm technically 10th in the world. Oh yeah. That money for sure will, it'll roll out. Like, that's what they'll look at. Oh, he won this much. Like, that's how it is right now. Even when I enter rodeos. So like when I entered Puyallup, I actually didn't get into Puyallup on the callbacks, but I was the first alternate because I was so many points in the Cinch World stuff, tough standings. But like going into like Bremerton and all that, I was like, I knew I was going to get in those because they don't really base it off just world standings. It's just total money earned. And that's how that works. And same for qualifications.
So cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I know that you're getting ready to go buck them this evening yet, right? You can't get enough. So yes, I can hardly wait to meet you. I am
yes,
so grateful.
Me too, Kendra. It's going to be a blessing. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Hayden. And we strongly appreciate your conviction and your faith. I hope that you're able to maintain that, because wind blows hard when you start to do well.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations to your dad for raising a good boy, and your mom, and keep it in the middle. Keep it in the middle. Be smart. Don't be stupid. Don't get hurt. Nope. And we hope that we're around in this podcast when you win number 8.
Hey, me too, brother. Me too.
God bless you.
Hey, thanks you for guys joining have a blessed us. Day. Thank you guys so much. It was so fun. I love talking. So whenever you guys want to talk, let me know.
You got it.
Thank you guys. Very much. Congratulations.
You guys take care. Thank you.
Thanks.
That's a good kid.
Wow.
What a good
That kid. Was so much fun.
That is what we needed in the last 10 days. So, okay, America, look at this kid, right? You know, quit scrolling on your phone. It's not as bad as you think. That kid is young, smart. Like, was totally wrong. He knows exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it. And isn't that cool?
Absolutely. Great kid.
And I was going to throw in there, I got this from the PRCA on permit holders, because I think this is interesting. Bareback rider Rody Farrell has won 63,000. Saddle bronc rider Coleman Schaubetters won 105,000 on his permit. And then you've got Hayden with 147 and some change. So
I
those
think
are
Schaubetter was high man back at Pelton, I think.
Was he?
Yeah. I think so.
Good winnings.
Anyway.
That was refreshing. Wow.
That was absolutely, now, isn't it just fun to cheer for somebody like that?
Absolutely. Easy to cheer for him.
Man.
And he's the real deal. Like, it's not an accident. He's got a natural ability to ride. And you could really see it. I really saw it in Pendleton. I'm just excited, right? I'm a fan.
Riding's not an accident, and his cheerful face is not an act. He's just brimming with positivity. You just are like, man, everybody should walk into each day like this. Okay, we surely have to talk about Pendleton, if that's cool with you.
It's cool with me. Let's do it.
Right? Okay, because another gust of fresh air who I have not ever yet spoken to, a kid, bareback rider from California, Jacek Frost. Hello. Like, he wasn't even in the top 20 before Puyallup. Wins Puyallup to move into 16th, and then wins Pendleton, and now he's 10th. It was a 40% of them clean sweep situation at Pendleton. Let's see. He was 87.5 in the short round on Matza's sideshow, won it by half a point over Sam Peterson. This Jacek Frost is, I made a comment to Ode about, gosh, this kid is so tiny. He was a full foot away from being able to reach the stirrups on the victory lap horse, right? And Ode says, oh yeah, I know his dad. His dad's a bulldogger. He's kind of tall. His name's Jason from out there in Browns Valley, California. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Perhaps his mom's a jockey or something, because Jacek's a small kid.
Maybe it's just going to be a late growth spurt. Maybe he'll be an RC Lanningham in a year and a half.
Oh, could be. Okay. Dylan Hancock, the pride of San Angelo, or the roping capital, right? He came from fifth back at Pendleton to win the tie down. And he also won money. He won over 19 grand total. He won some money in the team roping with Cole Clemens, who was also at the NFR for the first time in the calf roping last year. But a cool fun fact is that Dylan edged a local cowgirl for the all around, Brittany Carlson from Hermiston right there. I think she won the first round of the breakaway, and she was in both events in the short round, and it was close. And unfortunately, the telecast had to cut before they got to announce it. But big huge win for Dylan Hancock there. While we're speaking of, it was just National Day of the Cowgirl, National Cowgirl Day, whatever it is. To keep it on the women, Bailey Patterson, who's from Pendleton now, but I think is a member of the Minor family from Ellensburg. She won her hometowner in the breakaway. That was really fun for her. And Taylor Moikens and her horse Lizard, They conquered the Green Mile, and they are now officially, for sure, Vegas bound for the first time. She was third there last year. I noticed in the short round, there were so many people, like Lisa Lockhart won it last year. She was second this year. Taylor was third last year. She won it this year. There was another girl in the short round that it's like she won it 3 years ago or something like that. When a horse likes that very, very, very unusual 28-second pattern, if you have a great run, they seem to, you know, stay that way. So that's good watching barrel racer. And you better be puckered up when you hit, especially that second barrel right in front of the buck and shoots for most people. Holy smokes. Anyway, Cole Patterson, world champion steer roper, won his first Pendleton title in seven times trying. He had never even made the short round there before. He was 10-7 in the short round, which is the fastest of the rodeo. Okay, Jordan Spears won the bull riding, which Jordan Spears and Jacek Frost are both District 1 cowboys from California High School Rodeo, which is the furthest north, you know, before you get to Oregon. They're from this, you know, kind of rural, remote, very northern California country. But Jordan won the bull riding on his dad's birthday. He and Colton Kaufman were the only two guys to ride two bulls. So Jordan, like, who's the calf rubber? Corey Solomon. Those two guys are both, it's everything green, right?
Yeah.
Corey Solomon is green shirts, green bell boots, green everything, green. Yeah. And Jordan Spears is like that too. Green chaps, green, green. So, okay. Stetson Jorgensen, Bulldogger. He was 16th in the world, kind of in an unusual spot for him this time of year. And, he won Pendleton on the great mare Mabel. And the difference that she has made in his career is, I don't even know how to put that into words, but really neat for Stetson. He and his wife, Kelly. Stetson, Tuesday morning, he was up in Slack at Pendleton, and they had their first baby, a baby boy. They called him Rattler. And on Tuesday morning, and then he hauled butt and got to Slack, and then he ended up winning Pendleton. And there are pictures that are so sweet of baby Rattler, brand new, in the seat of his new Pendleton saddle. It's really, really cool. Canadian Cube Taylor won the bronc riding. And there was something that happened on Friday. You know, it ended Saturday, Pendleton did, but there was something happened in Friday's performance that I just happened to know what happened. And so because it was confusing at the time and nobody really understood, I just thought I would just quickly let people know that. So Tyler Waters and Kyle Lockett, Kyle Lockett's been to the NFR Healing a bunch, but they roped together and they were good on their first steer. And then they made a really good run on their second steer in Friday's perf on, you know, it was on TV and everything. And then a few runs later, you know, they showed Kyle and there was sort of this confused look on his face. And then here they were back in the box again. And so we were all just kind of mystified. It was, you know, a curveball. But what happened is that, and by the way, this run had not only team roping implications, because they were going to be sitting really great on two going into the short round, but also Waters had done really well. I think he won second in the first round of the steer roping, and he had made the short round on the steer roping. So major all around implications also. Well, anyway, so then they run another steer and Waters didn't miss him. But so what happened was they had gone, you know, hours before the performance and asked for a split because Waters was riding Jet Stewart's head horse. And so, you know, that's not a problem. That's all, everybody does that all the time, especially in the bulldogging. And, but somebody accidentally loaded the steers wrong. Well, here's the twist is when you nod for your steer or calf at Pendleton, you can't see them. So normally it's like, well, you would notice, you'd be like, well, that's not my steer. And you'd hold up or even the judge would notice, but the cowboy nor the steer can see when you nod. So that is, you know, that just would never happen anywhere else. And it was, you know, it was a bad, sad break for those guys. But I was offering it in the form of an explanation. I wish there was a moral to the story.
One would think they would have got the option of, I mean, it just seems to me they have nothing to do, because we had this conversation. Remember, we had the conversation about whose responsibility is it? Remember, and you and I tussled a little bit about it, but they had no way to know. It doesn't seem, now again, this is just me speaking out my ear, but it seems like they would have the option to keep that on the board or take the rerun.
No, right?
Evidently not.
No, you can't have the option of keeping it on the board because they were never supposed to run them in the first place. It was not their fault. So the right answer would be, okay, they have to run the correct sphere, which they did. And then I don't know how they handle it. I don't know if they had time to bring that steer back for the right team, or if the right
team. Well, they ran that steer twice, the right team.
I don't know if the team that drew that steer, if they ran the extra or that steer. I don't know that part of the story, but I do know that was a tough one for those guys. But there's really no moral of the story, because it's not on the judge who couldn't see the steer, and it's not on those guys who couldn't see the steer. So, but I do think it's interesting, the things that happen sometimes. And so it's just one of those things. Oh, and I was going to mention about Pendleton, that Casey Field was inducted into the Pendleton Hall of Fame, which is really cool. And I have such fond memories from after Louie, their dad, was done, you know, later in his life when he was, you know, his pickup man era and stuff. He would go to Pendleton and enter the team roping with like one of his boys. And that was really fun. So it was cool. You know, obviously Casey belongs in basically every Hall of Fame. And a neat side note that I heard Tia DeGroft, if I'm saying that correctly, that was the president of Pendleton, say that in honor of this 115th annual, that, you know, every year the perfs start at 1:15 sharp, you know, every afternoon. But that this year they added an extra $115,000 to kind of celebrate 115 years. So that's always appreciated by all of us, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. More money. Love it. Well, I don't have a couple things that I have. One is that I didn't know, you probably knew, but at the Governor's Cup, they're doing steer rope and it's 50,000 at it. You probably knew that because of what your boys had to go through to try to get back in the game. But I think that's cool. I guess they're doing it at the fairgrounds or something, but I think that's, I didn't realize that was happening, but I think that's cool.
It's fabulous. And yeah, after missing over half the season, Taylor doesn't have enough, whatever, tour points or whatever to go, but like, we all have to be thrilled for the inclusion of steer roping. And I think it's absolutely great. And thank you to the PRCA for doing that for the steer ropers. And that's very much appreciated. Yeah.
And you know, I'm kind of backwards. And when you look at leaderboards, you know, I'm backwards. You've learned that now in 76 episodes, but I'm most interested in 15th and 16th hole almost all the time before the finals. Like that's my, so I just ran a quick deal. I'm just going to spit out some stuff that will probably be irrelevant, but I'm going to do it in the bareback riding. 15th, Nick Pelkey with 116,487. RC sitting at 16. There's $68 separating them between 15th and 16th.
Steven, $68. Like, I want to ask every single situation like this, who's going to Mandan and who's going to Sioux Falls? I wish I knew that for everybody, but that's nuts.
Yeah. Saddle Bronc Riding, Ben Anderson at 15 with 132K. Colby Wanchuck, 16 with 122. There's 10 or 11,000. Not insurmountable at all, given the money that's coming up. In the bull riding, Luke Mackey at 15. Luke Mask at 16. 9K separating them. steer wrestling, which you probably already know. Dalton Massey in there at 15th with 98,000 and some change. Riley Duvall at 16 with 96, only $1,147 separating those two guys right now. And, you know, I won't go through, I can go through everybody, but the next closest one, the Heelers, Ricky Northcott, 102,537. Wyatt Cox with 101. 963, $574.
Okay, is Nikki Northcott two? Was Nikki Northcott in 15th, are you saying?
15th.
And Wyatt's 16th?
Yep. Currently. Wyatt. According to the standings right before this. Okay. Barrel Racing, McKenna Coronado at 15th. Caitlin Scott at 16th, 4,000 separating them. Breakaway, Jenna Dallin. Hope I'm saying that right, Jenna Dallin, yep. 90,673. And Aaron Johnson at $89,949 separating them. So I always, now, again, there's so much money and so much, did you get in, did you not, tour points, all of this stuff actually makes it kind of hard to follow. It really does, because it's just like you said, are you mandant, you know what I mean? Because there's so much money to be won here. And what do we got? What do we got?
14
days left. Yeah.
Yeah.
And big stories coming out. But I'm always interested in the bubble.
No, it's fantastic. And I will tell you this, like, I am to write a story for the November, comes out November 1st issue of the Team Rumping Journal on the Minor Brothers, who appear to be returning to the NFR after a few years' absence. And I shot him a text. I'm like, hey, when's a good time to talk? And they're like, can we wait till next week? Because we're not sure we're in. And they're 8th and 9th in the world. And so most people from the outside are like, oh, come on, that's a done deal. That's not how they're seeing it.
Because anything can happen. You know,
so just anything that it gets really interesting. You know, I will never cuss big money rodeos, because the more of those we can gather, the better. It's fantastic. And I understand why the people who are putting up all that money love the idea of being right there at the finish line, and it's headlines, and mm-hmm. it's so exciting. But man, every single year there are people who have been in the top 15 for 6 months, 10 months, you know, since day one, October 1st, last year, whatever, that will get knocked out. And it's just, it's hard. And it's hard. That's, you know, but, it's part of it, but know, man.
It is part of it, but you know, you gotta, and Trevor was a good example of someone that did know how to do this. You have to be able to compete in those pressure moments. That it yes. separates people. And
yes, but we yeah. also know that when it comes down to one rodeo, things sometimes beyond our control. I mean, it's also part of it. Your calf might trip before it gets to the line. Your hazer might miss the haze. You might slap the shit out of your bull and neither judge sees it. Pendleton, mm-hmm. yeah. or I mean, things happen all the time.
But you still gotta, putting that aside, you still, if the table's set, you have to eat the dinner. I agree. There's a lot of variables.
No. Yeah. And I'm just saying, you know, it's just, we love the huge money. We love the big rodeos. It's all great. The more of those we can have throughout the whole year, the better. But it's just extra to watch. When you know people and you know some of these guys are running up credit cards and spending money on flights that they really can't afford, but you've got to roll those dice because of what's waiting in Las Vegas, you know? And so it's people are tired. Some people are pretty broke. It's just the reality of it, you know? But it's super exciting. It's really fun to watch for fans, but it's also every year, man, it gets to be the last day. And I mean, I just want to cry for some people because something happened, you know, or a barrel racer's horse, you know, tripped on the third barrel or what. And yep. So
no, I get it. And I agree. I agree with that. I had one other shout out. This is doesn't follow the competition stuff, but I thought it was really interesting. One of our no spinner people sent this to me. I thought it was very interesting. But Jess Lockwood and Rusty Wright both posted on Facebook about celebrating 1 year of sobriety. So, you know, hats off for saying that, for one. Hats off for completing it, for two. And I can't help but imagine that it's not paying off for them. So congratulations, Jess and Rusty. That's fantastic. And I don't want to be amiss to not say that's
good stuff. It is fantastic, and it will pay great dividends for them. But it also does take a pretty bold, brave man to stand up and basically admit he was very wrong. And also to then, you know, Jess Lockwood could be that he might set quite an example, you know, for the likes of this young kid that we just talked to, Hayden, you know? Exactly. And it's like when Bobby Kerr told us the other day, you know, not long before he left this world, like I would say to young cowboys, you know, he originally diagnosed with esophageal cancer, but to say, if I had to do it again, I wouldn't dip snuff or smoke cigarettes, you know? So I'd love to see my young cowboy counterparts not partake in that if they, you know, I'd like them to think about it. And so that's, you know, that's really good of him. He didn't have to bother to try to help somebody else, you know, but that's cool. Congratulations stuff to Jess and Rusty. That's great.
That is great. Well, what a great show. On behalf of Kendra and I, we would be remiss if we didn't, we don't do politics on the show, but we do say our condolences and hard fought prayers for all those affected and all of the happenings in this country in the last week. Know that we're praying for you. We're praying for this country. We don't get into politics, but I think you have to acknowledge when you get a scar like that on a note. Not going to get into any other stuff. And thank you so much to the, let me see if I get it right, Ginger Ninja, as Matt Merritt would call Hayden. Thanks for joining. Thanks for getting on. What a fun conversation. Thank you, all of you, for joining us for episode 76. On behalf of Kendra and myself, Greg, who's probably eating a beignet or something right now, God bless all of you, and we'll see you in a week. Have a good one.